to you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Glory to your holy name. Call out to him. Call out to him. He is worthy of praise. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Rabasiti Ramamama. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your pain can leave your body in the midst of praise. Ha ha. It was in the midst of praise that Paul and Silas, their chains were released and their prisons were opened. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise is an aerial assault against the enemy. Yeah, you can set up some spiritual drones through praise. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Allow the Lord to fine-tune your perspective. Kind of like when you look through binoculars, you might have to adjust the focus a little bit to get things in sight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Lord, we just wait before you, at your feet. You have our attention. Whoever needs something from the Lord, trust him right now. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't try to figure out how. Don't look to others. Lift your eyes up, because that's where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. He is your provider. He is your keeper and your sustainer. He will lead, guide, and protect you, for he is your good shepherd, and you shall not want. He has everything you need, want, and desire. And he can get it to you just like that. Just rest in him. Cast your cares upon him. For he cares for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for showing yourself strong on our behalf. We rely on you, Father, for everything. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you may have your seats if you can. Praise God. It's fun yielding to the Lord, isn't it? If you have, if you know of any teenagers between the ages of 12 and 18, we're having our third annual Air Force Youth Camp, June 28th to the 30th. The camp is free. It's simply by donation. They're actually raising money for Air Force right over there. So maybe if you have a sweet tooth, you can satisfy that tooth with something good. Amen. And all that money goes to the Air Force. So if you know any teenagers, it's going to be a great time. We're going to spend a day at Refreshing Mountain Camp. And so our teenagers are going to be blessed. But if you know any other teenagers that would like to be involved, let them know and let us know. It'll be a great time. They camp out here. It'll begin Thursday night. Friday we go to Refreshing Mountain, then we come back on Saturday, and or we come back Friday night, I think, yeah. And then it'll be a great time. So if you know any teenagers that want to have some fun, tell them about what we're doing. And also, we're going to have a one-day VBS. What is that, from ages 4 to 11? Ages 4 to 11, a vacation Bible school for one day on June 23rd. That's a Saturday. Praise God. The women will be meeting on the second Saturday for Woven. So there's lots of things to get involved with. Amen. A lot of things happening. Praise God. God is so good. And then we're going to have some missionaries to China here on Sunday. They're going to give us a brief. They're going to share briefly about what's happening in China. And then I'm going to preach. So it'll be a good day. It's good to be back. We had a great vacation. And we were extremely blessed. I'll tell you what, the favor of the Lord went before us and just had a great time with my family in Illinois. It was like this was the first time in a long time that both my sisters and us and their kids all got together, and we got pictures to prove it. So it was a great time. I want to thank everybody that helped out, that filled in when we were gone. Praise God. It's that's a good thing. Amen. I'll tell you what, there is just a presence here this evening. So I'm not in a hurry. Just want to take it one step at a time. You know, God really wants to do some things in people's lives. And the only reason why God doesn't is because the people resist. For whatever reason, people put up walls of resistance. Maybe they lack knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish because they lack knowledge. Maybe they're afraid. Well, I'm afraid if God does this, what's the devil going to do? Who cares what the devil does? I mean, he's defeated. So if you're fearful of the devil, you're fearful of someone who lost, who got fired, who got kicked out of heaven. I mean, you might as well just live radically for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, if you have your tithes and offerings tonight, you can give that any time during the service, and you will be blessed. Amen? All right. Well, let's get into the Word tonight. I'd like you to turn to the book of Colossians. Chapter 3. Book of Colossians, chapter 3. The Lord laid this on my heart earlier today. And I want you to pay attention to verse 1. I'll read this from the King James, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Also, too, I want to make mention of something. We have an opportunity. Last year, there was a carnival at Fireman's Park. And last year, a group of believers got together. We had a booth called the Palmyra Prayer Center. If you would be interested in manning that tent, what's involved is we're just offering to pray for people. Anybody that needs prayer for anything, we're just praying for people. And if you're interested, how many would be interested in maybe I could do like, you know, an hour one night or an hour. If you're interested, just give me a show of hands that might be interested in doing that. Okay, three hands. All right. Well, if you would, Miss Carolyn is here after the service. If you can just see her and just tell her that you're interested. She's kind of putting that together. And amen. All right. Amplified says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in splendor of his glory. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. So I just want to encourage you tonight, don't set your sights too low. Sometimes we set our sights too low. He tells us here, to set your mind on what? Things above. Things that are higher. All right? You know, because if our vision only consists of this right here, the cares of the world, what happens when the cares of the world come into a believer? What do the cares of this world do? They choke the word and they make it unproductive. Now, think about this for a minute. Someone could be in a good church like this one right here. They could hear the word of God. They could see signs and wonders and the demonstration of the power of God. But yet, if their sights are not high, they can kind of lose what God wants to do in them. All right? Now, he tells us to aim at and seek the things that are above. And really, who are you looking to live your life? Who is the ultimate standard of living? Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, that word look is not a glance. That word look is to behold, to really focus so that you get a picture, and when you walk away, you know exactly what to look for, right? It is to behold him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay? So a Christian is raised to a new life by sharing in his resurrection. Now think about this for a minute. When Jesus rose from the dead, how many conversations did he have about the crucifixion? When he rose from the dead, he walked the earth for 40 days as a resurrected being. And he did not go around talking about the crucifixion, because the crucifixion was done. But now he was enjoying the resurrection. Yes, at the cross is where you first saw the light, but Jesus got off the cross. And the cross was only where the payment was made, but the resurrection is where the deal was sealed. See, now we, as Christians, we need to walk in resurrection. So that means we got to not focus so much on the past. That means you got to literally put your eyes on something else. And people will know what you're looking at by what you say. If you're always talking about how you were hurt back then, you're not walking in the resurrection. You're looking at the wrong thing. Your sights are too low. Let's raise your sights tonight. Okay? Go with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk in him. You can walk in him because he's in you. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? In you. Now the same Spirit, so this Christian life, where the rubber meets the road, we have to get up every day. Your body gets hungry. Your body gets tired. Your body gets wore out. And we go through cycles. But we have to make up our mind as Christians that we are to walk in him. Did Jesus ever have a bad day? No. Let me put it to you. Has anyone tried to kill you recently? They tried to kill Jesus often. And he would just simply, you know, he would just simply walk away. All right? There's something about setting our sights, aiming high, living a higher life on a higher plane. We now have the opportunity as Christians to let the Word of God govern us, where before we came to Christ, what governed you? The world? Your senses, how you felt, you know. When someone did something to you, the flesh wants to retaliate. It wants to do something to them. But in God's kingdom, that's not how we're to live. See, when you get called, we are called out of darkness and into the light. How many know that when you walk from a dark room into the bright sunshine, what happens to your eyes? They squint, right? Because there's too much light. And oftentimes, if you put on sunglasses, it helps you handle the light. So we got to put on some Christ sunglasses tonight. And we got to see the world that we're in through Christ's eyes and not ours. The Bible says that we could walk in him. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7, how do we do that? Rooted and built up in who? In him. Where do you get your strength from? Where does your ability to do what's right come from? It comes from Christ. Rooted and built up in Him. When you face trouble, you can say, I'm not facing this trouble alone because I'm facing it with Christ Jesus. In other words, think of it this way. No matter what bully you face, you've got a big brother named Jesus who is always with you. And they won't mess with you because your brother is with you. You've got to be rooted and built up in Him, verse, and established in the faith. People have to be established in the faith. There's too many wishy-washy people in the body of Christ. And what I mean by that is this. The devil uses fear, pressure, and intimidation, and it's amazing how quickly he can get people who are supposed to be Christians through fear, pressure, and intimidation to start doing his agenda. It's amazing how people use trouble and trial as an excuse to sin. It happens all the time. Well, I went through this, so, you know, because I went through this, I don't feel like going to church, so I'm just going to do my own thing. They're not established in Him. They're not rooted and built up in Him. Notice, establish in the faith as you have been taught. That's the key. A lot of people are wishy-washy because they don't receive the teaching that they need. And oftentimes, it's by their own choice. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. I'm going to read that from the Amplified, verse 8. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense. I like that. Following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ, the Messiah. So Paul doesn't want us to fall prey to deception, which is one of the tools of the enemy. But in order to do that, we have to focus on things that are not of this world. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. As a believer, we should be continually growing and developing in the Lord. We should continually be becoming stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might. We ought to be walking closer with the Lord today than when we did a year ago. Is that right? Does God expect us to grow? Is everybody here on the same level? No. So don't get nervous when people aren't on your level, and don't expect people to be on your level. You just manage you. All right? Don't worry about what other people do. You manage you. You be the best you. You be the best that you can be. Okay? And if others want to follow in line, they will. If they don't, that's not your responsibility. That's theirs. Everybody has a choice. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. How do you live your life? Running is an example of living the life that God called us to live. How do you run? Do you run like you're going to win? Do you have the attitude that when you get to the starting line that you're a winner? Say, I'm a winner. Say, I've already won. Say, Christ has given me the victory. You got to see yourself as a victor. When David faced Goliath, he already knew the battle was won. That's why he wasn't nervous about facing the giant. It doesn't matter how big the circumstance in the world is, God is always bigger. And if you're bogged down by circumstance, you're looking at the wrong thing. We got to expand our thinking. You know, there's a minister by the name of Rabbi Zacharias. He has a program entitled Let My People Think. I don't think we put enough effort into our thinking sometimes. Amen? But on the other hand, you don't want to try to reason things out either. You don't want to reason away miracles and things like that. Verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery is what? Temperate in what? What's temperate? Self-controlled. Say, I can control myself. No one else is responsible for me but me. So if you want to strive for the mastery, you got to be temperate in all things. Because your body and your spirit have two different goals. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Right? Okay? And we're striving to obtain an incorruptible crown. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. You know, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't even know why God put them on this earth. There's a lot of people that don't even know what their purpose is or what God's will for their life is. And therefore, they're wandering. They're wandering and wandering. You know, if you don't know what your purpose is, it's going to be hard to find it. What are you looking for? I don't know. What does it look like? I don't know. Have you seen it before? I don't know. It's going to be hard to find something like that, isn't it? And, you know, God, I think that finding your purpose is the easiest thing. Why can I say that? Because I found my purpose. I asked God what he wanted me to do, and he actually told me. He actually showed me. And when I do what God wants me to do, it makes me the happiest person on this planet. If I didn't get paid anything, I would still do it because it excites me. Verse 27. But I keep under my body. Now that tells me you and your body are not the same thing. Your body is simply the house that you live in. Okay? But when the house is gone, you will still be around. You won't be here because your body allows you to be on earth. And when you don't have your body anymore, you're going to be in heaven if you're a believer. Now, if you're not a believer, you're going to be in hell if you die as an unbeliever. So I bring my body into subjection, that lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay, let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Lord, just help me to make sense of all this. Look at verse 3. He talks about how your life is hid with Christ. In other words, Christ is your treasure. There's another scripture that says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God places his very best, his Son, his Holy Spirit, his Word in us. We are like a treasure chest, and we are full of rich treasures. Okay? Now, when something is hid, how do you find it? You have to what? Look. All right? If I wanted to get to the rich minerals of this earth, what would I need to do? How do I dig as a Christian? The shovel is your mouth, and the treasure is the Word. But you got to dig for it because it's hidden. Your life is hidden in Christ. And you got to dig in Christ to find it out. Go with me to the book of Jude, the last little book before Revelation, one chapter. Look at verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that which was once delivered unto the saints. You know that we're supposed to contend for the faith. When someone comes against what you believe, you ought to be able to give an answer to every man who asks you. You ought to be able to answer people. Amen? But if you haven't done your homework, so to speak, I'll call it that. If you haven't done your homework, it's going to be hard to give those answers. See, our life in Christ, it supersedes our circumstances. The circumstances that you're experiencing right now will pass away, okay? But God's Word will never pass away. And when you travel, you know, if you use a compass, what direction does the compass always point in? Because it's got, this earth has a magnetic pull, right? You always want to travel towards a known destination, towards, you know, if you're looking for something, the best way to find it is by the landmarks that point you to it, okay? Christ is our northern star. He is where our compass should always point, okay? When we're in doubt, we need to say, you know, what would Jesus do? What would he do in this situation? Okay? Verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice these men crept in. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, that how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. There are going to be some things that are going to try to creep in to your beliefs, unaware. The devil wants to put things in your path to make you doubt. And he only uses lies and deception. Do you realize that the devil is not creative? He can only pervert what's been created. He can only twist the truth. He cannot come up with a new idea. The devil never uses a new idea. It's always the same old thing. He just tries to make himself look bigger than what he really is. And all he wants to do is to try to get you to fear, to be intimidated, and to feel pressure. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 10. I want to show you this in an example. Okay? You know, in Christianity, there is a right and there is a wrong. There are things that are acceptable to Christ, and there are things that are not acceptable. So we shouldn't do the things that are not acceptable. We should strive to do the things that are acceptable. Okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Those are good things, aren't they? He was devout. He feared God, but not just by himself, right? With all his house. He was a giver. Alms are giving to the poor. And he prayed to God always. Do you think that Cornelius arrived? How many would like to be Cornelius just knowing those things? Okay? But there was more. In God, there's always more. Okay? How many are open for more? Okay? Notice now, verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, remember we talked about setting our minds on things above? Now, Cornelius did not have the Bible like we have. He might have had some scrolls. He might have had the law, but he was limited in what he had, all right? But God wanted Cornelius to have something more. So now here's how God works. God shows you, God instructs you, there's more. And he'll show you what to do to get more, but you have got to be the one to go and do it. And that's what I'm talking about, okay? Here, Cornelius sees a vision, and in this vision, he sees an angel coming into him and talking with him. Pretty cool, okay? And he was afraid, and he asked this question, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God." So, what Cornelius, he was doing what he knew to do, and he was getting results because with what he had, the knowledge that he was able to connect with God, okay? But there was more that Cornelius needed, and God was trying to get him hooked up with more. See, God doesn't pour more on us because we have to walk by faith. If you want more, you got to take another step of faith. If you want more, you got to go a little bit more into the unknown. You're going to have to trust a little bit more. You may not know what's there, but you got to take that step of faith to go further in God. Okay? Now he tells him, send men to Joppa. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. How does God get to you what you need? He uses people. Amen? Now, if there's no people around, he can use other things. But primarily, God will use people to get to you what you need. I call them divine connections, divine appointments. He'll put you with someone who has an anointing, and he'll use that someone to transfer that anointing into you, and it'll bless you, but God primarily uses people. Okay? he lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Notice, Cornelius still has a choice in this matter. This is not automatic. He's going to be told what he needs to do. Okay? And so if Cornelius wants more, he's going to have to do what he's told. Same thing with us. As believers, when God wants to do something more in your life, he's probably going to give you an instruction. He's going to tell you or show you what you need to do so that you can do it. And when you do it, then the blessing will be attached with it. But if you don't do it, you don't get the blessing. Okay? All right? So when the angel was departed, look at what Cornelius did immediately. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, this is awesome. Cornelius just had a vision from God. But then Cornelius communicated that vision to his household. Because when you come across something good in God, you will always want to share it with others. Oh, you know, I mean, my lovely wife has a tremendous shower anointing. I don't know what it is about the shower, but when she gets done with that shower, I mean, God downloads some revelation to her. She said, guess what? I just got in the shower. You know, I know God just gives her things in the shower. It's awesome. Praise God, I don't get anything in the shower. Because I'm not Fiona. That's how God speaks to her. He speaks to me differently. And sometimes she's at warp speed and I'm still with the engine trying to catch up. She gets things quick. It takes me a little bit longer sometimes. But now she understands that about me and she allows me to catch up. But she doesn't stop. She keeps going. Okay. So now, at the same time now, God is talking to Peter. Okay, we're not going to read everything here. Peter's having this vision. God tells him to eat the unclean. And, you know, he takes the holy approach. He said, I've never eaten anything unclean. Well, God just said, eat it. So if God said it, it must be okay. Okay? And, yeah, Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that is unclean. And God said, what I say is clean. You can eat it. Amen? Listen, that's another point. If Peter would have went by his feelings, he would have never went to Cornelius' house because he thought he was too good for something that was unclean. They consider Gentiles unclean. If Peter would have went by his feelings, he would have totally missed God. But instead, he went with God's word. He chose to put God's word above his feelings. If you want to set your things, if you want to set your mind on things above, you're going to have to put your feelings aside and go with what God said. Okay? All right. So, verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, get down and go with them. What? Go with them how? Doubting what? Nothing. Say, I do not doubt. Say, I kick doubt out of my house. Doubt has no place in me. See, if you're gonna want to tap into things that God has for you, you're gonna have to go doubting nothing. Well, let's see. He called me to come up there. Should I come up there, or should I stay here? I feel like I should come up, but should I go up? Stop doubting and just get your little blank up here. Okay, so Peter goes, and they tell him about Cornelius. And they tell him how God spoke to him. Okay? And let's go down here to verse 24. And tomorrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and called together who? His kinsmen and who? That's called witnessing. That's called witnessing. He invited people over to his house. They said, why are we here, Cornelius? I don't know. Just wait. He didn't know what he needed. He was just doing what God told him to do. And he wanted to share it with others. Because he doesn't have his mind set on things of this world. He has his mind set on things above. Cornelius wanted more. He didn't know how to get it, but God showed him. Thank you, Lord. See, this is all coming together now. Might have been a little sketchy in the beginning, but now we're kicking in full throttle, okay? I'm almost finished. So he gathered his family and his friends. And, you know, Peter came in and Cornelius fell down at his feet, began to worship him. See, he obviously didn't know much. Okay? But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Now that's what we need to do. Don't worship the person. Worship God. Okay? And verse 27, when he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Everybody say many. How many would you like to increase your sphere of influence? Do what God told you to do, doubting nothing. You want to increase your sphere of influence? Go home, and if you have an ungodly home, and when you're at a family gathering, just say, everybody, I just want to share a scripture with you. You know what happened today? I did a funeral today. It was a memorial service. And after the service was done, we had a gathering. They went to a diner. And everybody was there. Now, they didn't ask me to pray because I did the service. And I was sitting across from this lady, and she looked at me and she said, are you going to pray? And I said, yeah. She was a spunky 82-year-old. Thank God for those spunky 82-year-olds. And so I stood up, and I said, everybody, we're going to go ahead and pray over the food. And everybody put their heads down, and they just listened to me for a minute, and I prayed over their food. I wasn't going to. I was just going to pray for my food, but, you know, sometimes you need a little encouragement. Amen? So, look at verse 28. At the last part there, Peter said, God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Thank God that Peter got the message, although God had to show it to him three times. Amen? Okay. So, verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Okay? And he goes on, he's preaching. And verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is, which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. Now, I want you to notice something. Peter was praying. He didn't have a message prepared. He had to go trusting God that God was going to fill his mouth. Okay? Verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on how many? all them which heard the word. Okay? By hearing the preaching of the gospel, you get a different picture of how your life is. When you're sick, you can hear how Jesus heals. It gives you a different picture. You can see yourself healed. Okay? And verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well? They got filled with the Holy Ghost before they got water baptized. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They had a revival meeting. Cornelius got something that he needed, but he didn't know how to get it, but God showed him because his mind was set on things above. My point is, Cornelius did what he knew. But what he knew was limited, but he was open for more knowledge. And he followed the instruction that God gave him, and God connected him with more than what he had before. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, being baptized, and Peter stayed there many days teaching them. They were hungry. This Cornelius, his family, and his friends were hungry. They wanted Paul to stay. They said, we don't want to leave. We want to linger here a little bit. Because they knew that God was working. Cornelius could have stayed the way he was. He was devout. He was a giver. He feared God. But God showed him more. And he had to go after, he had to do some things to get more. He could have just stayed the same, but he chose not to. You can just stay the same too. You can stay the way you are, but there's more. There's more to walk in. There's more to know. There's more to experience. And God will show you how to get there. He will show you how to have more. Maybe there's something that you have to give up to get more. See, because if you're held in bondage by something here on this world, then you're not looking above. Some people are okay with us four and no more. I'm not. I don't want just us four and no more. I want more. So tonight, I want you to set your sights higher. I want you to believe God for more than you've ever believed him for. If you need provision, doesn't God say that he'll supply your need according to his riches and glory? If you need healing, doesn't he say that by my stripes you're healed? So, what do you need God to do in your life? Let's just take a moment and let's just go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know that there are things above that we're not walking in yet, but we can walk in them. So, Father, I ask you to show us right now what we have to do to walk in more that you have for us. Greater plans, greater blessing, strength, power, doesn't matter. There is, you've got to set your sights higher. You've got to set your sights above. You've got to get out of this limited vision and you've got to get above the clouds. Amen? Whatever you need God to do right now, he wants to do, but he's got to bring you up higher. You got to see yourself healed. You got to see yourself prosperous. You've got to see it. You've got to be fully persuaded, fully convinced that what God said is going to happen, irregardless of anything else. Abraham was fully persuaded because God kept telling him to look up. God kept showing him the stars. He kept changing his vision, and finally he got it, and it stuck, and then Isaac was born. God wants to touch you tonight. His presence is here. Some of you need you need help from God. And that help comes in the form of an anointing. So if there's anybody here tonight that you need prayer for anything, God has an anointing simply to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to help you get from point A to point B. He wants to take you to another level. The slaying of a giant is an entrance to a new level. So what giant are you facing tonight that needs to be slain dead? Because you fight with the name of the Lord. The battle is not yours, but God's. And simply, maybe coming up here just simply means you're not taking the battle on yourself. You're letting God fight for you. I don't know what it is. But if that's you, if that describes your situation, you need to come up here right now and just receive what God has for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can go ahead and play the second song that we did in worship this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Believe in you. We put our faith in you. Thank you so much, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your patience with us. It may take us a little while to get there, but we're going to get there in the name of Jesus. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to turn around. We're not going to look to the right. We're not going to look to the left, but we're going to arrive at our destination. You're destined for glory. You're destined for victory. You're destined to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. There's no foe that can stand against you. No foe can stand against you. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. You know, when the devil comes at you, he'll flee from you seven other ways with his tail between his legs. Some of you got to get bold about it. Tell that devil to scat. Put your foot down. Well, praise God. I hope you got what you needed tonight. I didn't know how it was all going to come together, but the Lord does. And see, how it's going to come together, you still got to go through it, trusting the Lord the whole way. God bless you. Y'all have a great night.